Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Fan Run Radio.
Rick Barnes from the Tennessee Volunteers all raised their shirts. They are the SEC Tournament Champions. Mark will hold it, and so he and the Volunteers will hold the trophy. SEC Tournament Champions to match their regular season title.
You know who Hendon Hooker is, returning quarterback for Tennessee, a dark horse Heisman candidate.
I haven't even said it on my own airwaves yet. I think Tennessee's going to beat Georgia this year.
Assuming it's not Alabama, it's not Georgia who wins the SEC, what other team is there that could challenge for the SEC title?
Well, I'm a little curious about Tennessee. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see if they can make that step and be a division contender.
Well, then I guess there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Win the whole thing.
Yes!
Leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance. We can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile. Say, we can dance, everything's out of control. We can dance, they're doing it from pole to pole.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studio. A little vibrato this morning for you guys. Yeah. Hope you liked it.
Bravado. Good word.
What? What did you say?
What?
What did you just say?
Bravado.
Not bravado.
What did you say?
Vibrato.
Vibrato.
Yes.
I thought you were saying bravado, as in
like the reverberation is like a, you know, like a great singer and musician.
I think you're
in...
thinking of staccato.
No, staccato is very short notes.
I mean piccolo.
That's an instrument.
Picante.
That's quickly, I think.
It's a salsa, too, is what I was thinking.
It's not allegro, but... Or allegro. I can't remember.
Acapella.
That's not it either. Although, shouts out to my...
Archipelago.
Shouts out to my buddy the other day, the... sound system wasn't working at the softball game. And,
yeah, shouts out to this guy.
The coach was like, oh, don't worry. We got a guy. Hey, hit the anthem. Just a cappella, nailed the whole thing.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's a, you know, music major, chorus teacher.
But still, guy. Just to be like, hey.
Still, just, yeah, I got it.
Man, I'd be like, sorry, I mean, I'm eating some chips. I'm busy.
Just nailed it.
Good for him. That's actually is impressive.
It's a hard song to sing. People don't realize that.
What do you... People don't realize that? I think people realize that. It's a hard song to sing.
I don't think the casuals realize how hard... They make fun of like all the people that sing it poorly at sporting events and stuff.
You walk up,
got a wide range.
You walk up to some casuals and say, hey, write the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
Or just say them. And don't mess up the first time through. I mean, it takes a lot of practice.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of respect for performers like, especially the anthem.
A lot of pressure. Can't mess that up.
And everyone's like, oh, well, with music. But with music, you got to time it right. I mean, they just get up there by themselves, just go.
Just a cappella, as you said.
Yeah, I know.
You know what that means?
Yeah, by yourself. Essentially.
Okay.
The voice by itself.
No music, yeah.
Staccato.
I don't really mean by yourself. I mean, you could have an a cappella group.
I mean, that's true, yeah.
Staccato.
Yeah?
What?
Staccato.
It's like it's short notes. It's
You know what that song is? Putting on the Ritz.
So that's Houston. I'm Nate. This is 3 and Out.
I was in Ensemble.
Welcome to the
show. I remember all of these.
You're in Ensemble.
I was in Ensemble at Bearden High School.
What's
No, I take that back. What was Ensemble? I take that back. This was West Valley Middle School.
Oh, what was Ensemble? The best. What type of ensemble?
It was the best 30 singers in the school.
Oh, choral. Choral, okay.
No, it was Ensemble. Chorus was a class. Ensemble was the best of the best.
But you can have other ensembles that aren't choral. You could have like a band ensemble. Or
I'm just telling you what it was at it the was middle school.
Known as Ensemble.
Ensemble, yes.
Since it was so elite.
Yeah, it kind of was.
30 voices.
And you became
a drummer?
Yeah. We had to get there an hour early, one day a week to practice. It was dedication, Holmes. Until I realized I would rather go to the gym and play basketball.
Do any drummers ever like sing? Or are they also like backup vocals and stuff?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Most of them just play the drums, right?
Yeah.
Like in a band, I mean, not.
Yeah, yeah. But no, there's some who can back up vocals and stuff.
Is it possible to lead sing and play the drums?
I have seen a couple people do it.
Yeah.
It usually doesn't go very far. Because the musical difficulty is you can only do so much if you're drumming and singing.
Okay.
Not that people aren't good at it, but it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of hard. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning.
Morning, Brett.
Morning.
Morning it is, indeed.
There was a video of the Pride of the Southland. It's on Twitter, you know, it's getting me fired up.
What were they doing?
Opening the tee.
Like practicing it?
No, it's just a video from a game. I don't know.
Oh, okay. So you saw the pregame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like I think it was a shot like from the tunnel. Kind of like the player.
Was it the video that they did with Heupel for SEC Media Days with Marty and McGee?
I don't know. It was just a short clip.
Did you see that, though?
No. I saw that one.
What'd you think?
I don't know. I quit watching it about 45 seconds in.
It was only a minute long.
Oh. I was busy.
Kids these days. Attention span.
Yeah, you can thank TikTok for that.
Some of those videos are longer than 45 seconds.
Very few. And if they are, I usually don't make it through. So
Hickman, you didn't watch. I think Heupel likes it here.
Yeah?
He said.
How could you not?
They asked him about the first time he ran through the tee.
Hmm.
And he said.
Maybe it was that video.
Said, I remember my first vol walk. Said, you know, I'd seen some pictures. Everywhere I've been, we've done a walk. And then he gets this look on his face like, you ain't never seen nothing like that. That was pretty much it. Then he called it pomp and circumstance. But I think he meant it in a good way. But he said nothing compares to the vol walk. He said, I've been, you know, went to a lot of walks, been in a lot of different places, seen a lot of things. When they're 25 deep at the bottom of the hill, you know. Jared mentions Phil Collins as a drummer singer. He was not always a drummer singer, but he does sing the back. When the drums come in the air tonight, he's singing and drumming simultaneously. Mm-hmm. That's honestly probably the best song where the drummer is singing.
Okay.
I don't know if it's always been that way. I don't know if for every concert they've ever done, he sang that live. But when he does it, or when he did it, I don't know if he's even still touring. Jimmy's like a big world Civil War buff. I think it's Civil War. Huh. Like, Phil Collins loves American military history. It's okay. Fascinating. Yes, everyone's chiming in with Phil Collins.
Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, the back half of In the Air Tonight when he's singing and drumming. There's a couple concerts on YouTube. You should probably check that out.
Hmm.
He's so good. And that's just a great song. That one always gets me hyped for football.
I tried to find that video, came across a different video, and I'm just hoping that in about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years from now, Heupel's won a couple natties, maybe three, and there'll be this trivia question. It'll be like, who scored the first touchdown of the Josh Heupel era at Tennessee?
Who was it?
Do you know the answer?
Uh, Joe Milton.
Joe Milton, you nailed it.
I had to work backwards in that game. I was like, remember that touchdown? I remember the Tillman touchdown. Yeah, it was a little quarterback keeper from like the 2 or 3 yard line, right?
Yeah. Especially if he never is like a
perma, if he never plays
if
again.
He's never a perma starter, you know. Maybe starts here or there, but yeah. It'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, I remembered.
You did.
I got a pretty good photographic memory when it comes to Tennessee football games. Mm-hmm. Decent. I mean, I don't remember every score from every year, but I can get pretty close.
Yeah, Milton got the first, Jabari got the second.
Tillman got the third.
Did he?
Right before the half, I think, yeah. We weren't up that much. He threw the deep ball and jumped over that little dude.
I thought that was late third, early fourth.
It doesn't
matter. We only scored like 35, 38 points. What was the score of that? I don't know. It was not a great outing. Not our best. It got better, though. Who scores the first touchdown this year?
Tillman.
Feels like that's a pretty safe bet, right? Against Ball State, just like, oh, he's triple covered. Who cares? I'd say Tillman or Jacob Warren.
Oh, Jacob Warren.
Fake Tillman. Backside post.
I'll go Jabari. Big play down the sideline, get knocked out of bounds, or just pound it in there.
Who's getting knocked out of bounds?
Like, whoever, Tillman, Hyatt.
No. They're not catching him. Ball State catching Tillman or Hyatt. Did you dip into the sacrament a little bit this morning, huh? Are you drunk?
They probably had an angle, you know.
No one gets an angle on this offense. Almost a defense. We're going to get the angle on that defense, though.
All right.
That's for damn sure. We're half asleep over there, Hickman? What's going on? You all right?
A little tired.
Why?
Hard-working man.
He's worn out.
Hard-working man.
Got like three jobs. What happened at camp yesterday? The guys have been hard at work, right?
I did not see.
I don't
anything.
Know. Am I the only one who's? Fine. I'll lead the show. I'll do it.
No, I know. We have right a here. Carrier. I was teeing it up.
I'll do it
so we could get into it.
I'll do it. Paxton Brooks spoke to the media, as did Mike Eckler. Mm-hmm. We've hit the part of camp where there's not that much to go, you know, to talk about.
I didn't.
Girl White was back.
Well, just I'm literally going through it.
Fine, go
and
ahead.
You just skip ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you've already done it. Go ahead. No. What? What are you looking at? What's wrong? Are you hearing something funny? We're not hearing it. There's nothing. Yeah. We're not hearing anything.
This is as good as my headphones have ever sounded.
Is it like?
Studio.
Is it a?
Yeah, you're cutting out on me.
Yeah, probably. You're probably just not plugged in good. Just probably not plugged in. Is it doing it now that he's jiggling your wire?
No.
Is it better?
Yeah, it's better.
There you go. See.
I mean, sometimes I'd like for you to cut out, but. Now's not one of those times.
Okay.
I'm very interested to see what you have to say.
Was that necessary? That attack?
No.
We just started the show. You're already starting the attacks. I just fixed your headphones. I mean, via Brett, but I basically told him what to do.
It's actually pretty late.
Not in relativity to the remainder of the show.
Wow.
We're not even done with the first segment yet.
Well, what'd you learn yesterday?
What I learned yesterday?
Yeah.
That you want to make out with me. And so does Nate. But you guys had to put conditions on it. Thank God. Freshman cornerback Christian Harrison in a red non-contact jersey, but did go through drills, as Nate mentioned and then ceased to talk about. Squirrel White was back. That seems pretty good. Apparently he got dinged up in the first scrimmage. Harrison had what secondary coach Willie Martinez called a setback. You don't say. You don't say.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Kamau Haddon and Elijah Simmons still back, looking good. Jalen Wright still on the side doing drill work, not going through practice.
Lynn J. Dixon isn't practicing either.
Stayed inside. Got treatment on the ankle. Got a lot of ankles.
Is Williams Thomas going to be ready to go? Because I feel like
They said he's done well. He's not as fast as Dylan Sampson, but he's done well. He's picking
it
up.
Are those two guys going to? Like, are they going to be? playing a crap
Was
ton?
Justin Williams Thomas not a midtermer? Am I crazy? Did he go through spring practice?
I thought
Haven't heard as much about him.
No.
That was Bears pick to click.
Hmm.
He looks it. Looks the part. But they like Dylan Sampson with the home run threat. Jerry Mack said he has a bunch of sexy runs.
Okay.
His words, not mine. What do you think about that, Hickman? Sexy runs.
I'm here for it.
Bet you are, Panama Red. We also have an Australian punter, Nate.
We do. We still have Paxton Brooks, though, right? So we're good there?
Yeah, punter Jackson Ross.
Jackson Ross.
G'day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, rugby man. Tamed crooks. Apparently he can do both rugby style and American style. I don't know what you call a regular punt.
Regular.
Just
regular.
American?
No, I mean, it's regular.
Football's American.
Okay.
But I guess they punt in soccer, like when the goalie.
Yeah.
Or sort of keeper for the people.
You don't see as many rugby punts as you did when they first started doing them. Like, everybody was rugby punting.
Well, I think that's because people realized if you figured out which way the guy was going to kind of roll and you stacked that side, you could actually have a pretty good chance of blocking it.
Well, they changed something about the rules, too. I can't remember what it was. I think it had to do with how fast guys on the rugby, like, in the long line of guys could get down the field. But I don't know. Or maybe it was that the... It might be the way you could build that wedge thing in front of the rugby kicker. I can't remember. There was some little tweak that hurt.
Because you used to be able to build a 3-man wall, and I don't think you can do that anymore. I think it's only 2.
Really?
You snap it between 2 guys. You can't build the wall behind the center in front of the punter. Because remember, it used to be like they would snap it.
There
would go
guys there still?
Yeah, but there's some weird rule. They can't be like side by side by side. Remember when they used to snap it through the gap, and then guy would just close the door? Yeah. It's not an actual door. It's a door of people. Uh-oh, Hickman.
What?
Joe Milton hit Caleb Webb in stride on a deep ball. Hey there, that means one of two things. Caleb Webb, lightning fast.
And can catch up to anything.
Or Joe Milton got the touch back, baby. Found some touch.
I don't think he got it back.
What do you
I
mean?
Think he just found it. I don't think he ever had touch.
He probably had some touch before the arm, you know, grew too big, too strong, too fast. I think it was Golish was sent, or might have been, no, it was Housley. They said in spring practice and to start fall camp, they wanted him to make mistakes as he worked on touch. And that he's found it. He found the touch. He's playing his best football. It's a pretty big luxury, guys. A lot of schools in the SEC right now would not feel too comfortable if they had to play their backup.
We got Walker Merrill starting right now? With Brew McCoy not eligible?
It was him and Ramel Keaton, I believe.
It said Ramel Keaton worked behind Cedric Tillman yesterday with Merrill. So Merrill, Tillman on the outside, Hyatt in the slot.
I like Walker Merrill.
Has he done anything? I'm not against it. I'm neither for nor against. I mean, I'm for, but I don't know anything.
I remember catching that ball against Ole Miss late in the game.
He had a catch against Pitt.
He did?
Yep.
Really? I thought he was hurt then.
It was early. He might have got hurt
when he had the knee brace on?
Yeah.
No, he was hurt in the spring, right? He was in a big leg brace.
I think he had surgery in the spring.
Yeah, at the orange and white game, I remember seeing him down there when we went down to the field.
Oh, they gave him a number for all of his skills on 24/7 Sports. I don't think I've ever seen this before.
A number?
Toughness, he's an 8.
This is Walker Merrill?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he plays through migraines because he didn't have a visor last year.
But I'm pretty sure the other day you said that was Brew McCoy who did the visor.
No.
No, he said Walker Merrill.
He only played in 2 games last year.
And he had a catch in both?
Wow. I guess he didn't have a catch.
He had 4 against Tennessee Tech and 1 against Ole Miss.
So he didn't play against Pitt, and he had a catch, Hickman? Yeah, he caught that pine.
He was hurt.
I see him being a Josh Smith type of guy.
You said this the other day.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, because he's white. We get it. You know, there are other, you know, never
he has that Pfizer issue, doesn't he?
poor Brett was looking up the playtime.
I thought that was a joke. Or were you really?
Nah, he has migraines or something.
No, see, he's not joking at all.
No, I don't know if he's kidding or not, if he's just playing it along.
It's pretty good.
I'm still confused. I'm just going to let it sit. I don't really care. It's pretty funny. Size 8. Hands only a 7.
Size 8?
Size 8.
He's 6'1". 195 on his recruiting profile.
That's an 8.
It's not a big guy.
Squirrel White, probably not an 8. All
right.
Speed, 7. Ball skills, 6. Those are the notable ones. Is it official?
His NFL comparison, Zach Rogers, the Jets. All right.
Zach Rogers?
Yeah.
Like our Zach Rogers?
No. That wasn't our Zach Rogers, was it? He didn't play for the Jets.
Who's Zach Rogers that played for the Jets?
No, that is our Zach Rogers.
So they just
that's why I laughed.
So they just went back to okay, cool. They just went back to the last decent Tennessee white slot receiver. Maybe above decent. He played with Bray and all those guys, and they were like, "Oh yeah, this is that's him."
That's why I laughed. It's like, just we got a white receiver. Who can we compare him to? Pick all the other ones.
Such a lazy take.
I know.
Vol Nation Recruiting says Walker definitely did play in the Pitt game because Milton missed him on a deep pass.
That's what I remember. Yeah. I knew I saw him in the Pitt game. Knew something stood out.
So maybe he played, but he didn't register a statistic, and that's why. Or did it say played in two games?
No, I mean, it just showed his stats.
Okay, so yeah.
He may have played, but.
Yeah, he was running wide open. Yeah. And just. But that's not a problem anymore, Nate, because he found the touch. Found it.
Milton hit. I mean, it also said Taven Jackson had a deep ball. I don't know. Just because he hit one.
Taven Jackson showed great arm strength.
Ooh.
On his deep ball, which would make sense since you're throwing it
deep.
Mm-hmm. Only the important things. I'm pretty proud of us. I think we were the only show on the station to do actual sports talk yesterday, so that's good.
Really? What did everybody else talk about?
Movies, murder, Hard Knocks. I mean, I guess that's sports related.
Yeah.
Blitz talked. Well, no, the Blitz did a good job. Charlie did a good job of keeping it focused on football. They did some NFL stuff. After that, though, it was getting away with murder, comedies.
What was the consensus?
And catfishing.
What was the consensus on the murder? Like, how do you get away with it?
John thinks he could absolutely get away with murder.
John Reed thinks he could get away with
murder.
Well,
no. Not anyone in particular. Just someone anywhere and get away with it.
Oh, so.
Like, just randomly drive to Idaho, find a farmer, kill him, drive back.
I do feel like motive is what gets most people.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. There's always some type of,
that's why if it's a psycho serial killer that's just killing
That's why people, it takes forever to find those guys.
Yeah.
But then there's always something.
They've also planned it out.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of murders are just
But eventually, there's always some type of, mental formality that they kind of fit into where you can start to track them. Or you just wait until they basically call and turn themselves in.
Hmm. Yeah, I watched 7 the other day.
So did I.
No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. But I
you remember it. I
mean, verbatim. You watched it again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kevin, rewatch.
Kevin Spacey is even creepier now that you know about his real life issues.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Plays that part perfectly.
When's he going to rot? His trial's soon, isn't it?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Keeping track of it.
I hate that guy. He was really, like, I really just wanted to, I watched A Time to Kill a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
God, I just wanted to punch that dude.
Is he the arguing attorney?
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh, I forgot about that one.
I feel like he was an attorney in
he's a really good actor.
He was an attorney in another movie that I liked. Anyway, I just complimented us for doing a sports show, and here we go down the movie rabbit hole. Mm. That's okay. It's August 18th.
You excited about this Australian punter?
I don't know.
Or do you think...
yeah, man, dude, I'm pumped. Are you kidding me? I've waited my entire life for us to have an Australian punter. Am I excited?
I mean, we are punter you. Guy's probably pretty good.
I mean, I hope so. Paxton Brooks is pretty good, I think.
I know. Might cause controversy. Might be a problem.
No. The guy's a freshman. He's fine.
Who's kicking field goals?
Bloodbath McGrath.
Okay.
Chase. I call him Bloodbath McGrath because it rhymes.
So we're set, special teams. We feel good, really good about that.
Well, there was a tasty rumor yesterday, Nate.
What's that?
That Squirrel White housed a kick return. 98 yards.
His first day back going full speed, that's pretty insane.
Could have been yesterday morning. He was back the day before, right?
No, he wasn't fully back until yesterday.
Well, they put him out there and fast. So maybe, just maybe, we get our wish where the guy with the ball in his hands who's the best at it actually gets to return
the ball.
They won't let him do punts, though, will they?
Probably not.
No. Mike Eckler did say he wants a guy back there who will take risks but who will never drop the ball. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to return a punt for a touchdown.
Punts do scare me a little bit.
What do you mean?
I mean, you do have to make sure your guy fielding the punts, A, catches the football, and then B, doesn't fumble. He's not a fumble guy when he's returning.
Well, it was like Marquez Callaway had some really good punt returns for a touchdown, but he was also the king of letting it bounce 5 yards from him and then bounce behind him another 20. I would rather a guy go backwards and stop the bounce roll than run up and try to dive under it to stop it. Like, if it's going to bounce 5 yards, that's fine. But when you just let it go and it just keeps going, nothing infuriates me more. It's like, dude, back up a little bit. That's all. That's all I had to say about the punter. Well, that and, you know, how excited I am about...
I don't know how many kick returns you get a season now, you know, because so many are in the end zone.
Oh, okay. On kickoff?
Yeah.
It's not many.
Yeah.
It's not many at all. I mean, we had a few last year. I mean, Valus had a touchdown against... Oh, brother.
South Alabama.
Yes, South Alabama. But those guys probably can't kick it quite as far, mm-hmm. South Alabama. So,
kind of worried. I mean, if our Squirrel White's taking back 98 yards, like, who kicked that off?
Hopefully. Well, we're probably working on it. You know, maybe it was a pooch kick.
Hopefully it was the gun just shooting it.
Nate, it's practice against yourself. It's anything good is going to have an equal bad. So
I'm worried about our kick coverage now.
Just Squirrel White, pretty good, you know. So you can go that way.
Okay. I'll go that way. Really excited to watch our kickoff.
Excited for the next 2.5 hours with you.
I was watching NFL preseason games, and they should just eliminate the kickoff. If we're not going to have any, why do we have to trot all 22 guys out there, kick it down there, and then jog back off the field?
You know
again?
The answer.
Tradition.
No, for the next commercial break.
Well, see, Patterson.
But they don't do that anymore.
Patterson. I mean, if you want to do that, fine, but let Patterson break the record this year because he is tied, and that's why he's putting a bigger emphasis on special teams this year because he wants to break the record for most
Cordero
return
is?
Touchdowns. Yes.
If they don't change the rule, he smashes Devin Hester's record.
Yes.
Smashes it.
I mean, he's been tied with him for, seems like 4 years,
yeah,
5 years.
Yeah, probably when they changed the damn rule. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Cordero Patterson is the best kick returner I've ever seen. And he really didn't get all that many. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame with the longest kick return in NFL history. He's tied with a couple other guys. I've never seen anybody, just on kickoffs, who's better at setting up and then that one plant. That guy's knees are made of steel.
Well, and then he's able to make minute cuts without
losing speed,
decelerating.
Yeah,
like no one.
I've never seen the 1 foot cut. It's like I can't explain it.
Yeah.
And now he's huge, so he can break tackles too. But no, pure kick returner. At his, what are these? Like 6'4"? I've never seen a guy that big be that elusive. VFL, Cordarrelle Patterson.
We'll get to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines on the flip side. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Point. All phone calls brought to you on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 865-546-8200. Check them out in Halls. Big Orange Phillies, they got you covered.
When we going, Hickman?
Spot. I thought you went the other day.
No.
No, you didn't go?
Yeah, we need to get out there soon.
He bailed on me.
Oh, okay.
You bailed on me. I said, are you really
going
out there
today? We're not
doing
this. We're
and
not.
You said,
6625 Maynardville Pike. Swing in there. You might see these guys eating some lunch one day, maybe.
Yes, come watch us eat lunch.
Well, you know, people like to hang out. See you guys out in the wild.
In the wild. Okay.
See who has to pick up your check. You know.
I don't know. Yeah, me and Hickman should be going to lunch together after a recent radio segment. People might get the wrong idea.
I don't know if you want to be seen together out, just the two of you.
We'll bring a third party.
Hey, don't be afraid to hide who you are, Chris.
Don't be afraid to hide who you are.
Just a man that'll give his all for Tennessee. Let's go to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. We got Matt up first. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
Oh, boy.
I was going to say, after yesterday's little segment, you guys can make that your inaugural spot or location. You guys do your four-second kiss.
It's 3 seconds, and that's only if we're 13-0 after the SEC championship game.
I thought it was 4 seconds.
No, I went to 4 with the championship game.
11-0, but 12-0 was a 4 second.
He said that wrong. 12-0.
I thought
the proposal was 12-0, 3 seconds.
Me and you, 4 seconds after 15-0.
No. The original proposal was 12-0, 3 seconds.
Yes.
You guys were balking at that. You didn't want to do it because that can mean you just then lose the SEC championship. So I threw in the SEC championship game, but you have to go an extra second. So the current bets on the table, both kisses are 4 seconds. One is you and Hickman includes, it's got to be undefeated SEC champions. And then if somehow we also win the semi and the natty, then you're going round two with me because why not?
Nate.
At that point.
Nate. You know it doesn't matter, like 1 second or 30 seconds. So if we win the natty, why don't we just do a 30 second?
Nope.
It matters, Matt. It matters to me.
It matters a lot.
4 seconds, guys. That's a long time, fellas.
That's half a bull ride.
Somebody's going to be on a stopwatch, too. It's not going to be like one of these damn SEC basketball officials counting with the hand out to the side. I mean, we are going to be watching the shot clock.
I'm going to be kissing you and looking at the watch.
Somebody's going to have a horn and be like, and we're out of there.
I promise there will be no after time. There's going to be no extended time, no stoppage time on this kiss.
Are you guys going to be puckering up a little bit if we're 6-0? Be honest with me.
No.
I don't think – depends on which pucker up you mean.
Well, I mean you're
like starting to worry about it that we might have
to. Yeah, like worrying a little bit.
If we're 6-0,
I think I'm gonna be laughing all the way to 13-0.
Yeah, you would.
and then just knowing that we'll blow it in the play. You think we're gonna win the playoff, Matt? Even if we're 13-0, we go 13-0. These guys have to make out. I'm still gonna be laughing because at that point it's all gravy for me. We're either national champions or I don't have to kiss Chris. So either way, I'm a winner.
I love how everyone's finally come on board. See, I got to this spot immediately yesterday, guys. I was just there. And so was Hickman. Hickman was pretty quick. You were a little hesitant.
What are you talking about?
You were a little hesitant. Just a little hesitant.
We got 3 hours. We can't just ask a question and say yes.
It was 9:30 when we started talking about it.
What do you think about Tennessee? They'll be good.
Pretty good year.
Next
topic.
Murder.
Could you get away with it? Yes.
Can I Can I talk a little bit of live golf this morning?
It is. Okay. Oh, this is insane right now, Matt.
It's crazy, man. And it's not so much. I think it's just. You guys saw it. Did you see where Patrick Reed suing the Golf Channel and Brandall Chamblee, the announcer?
Yeah. Yes.
You seen that? I mean, what a dude! It's just blow. It's just. It's crazy, man. It's like you can step back and just see these guys got all this money. Now they're just suing everybody they can. It's an absolute joke. What's he suing? What's he suing the Golf Channel for? He said 10 years of defamation. They started in on him when he was 23, he said.
Yep. Said it was a conspiracy to defame Patrick Reed.
I mean, that might be the softest, most Gen Z stuff I've ever heard in my life.
The allegations include, quote, misreporting information with falsity and or reckless disregard of the truth, that is, with actual and constitutional malice, purposefully omitting pertinent key material facts to mislead the public, and actively targeting Patrick Reed to destroy his reputation, create hate, and a hostile work environment for Mr. Reed.
And they specifically noted the 2019 tournament where he cheated, which he did, where he lift the sand up. You guys, we talked about that. You remember that?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, and like they defamed him over that. It's like, dude, you cheated on national TV. How is that defaming you when you got busted? Absolutely blows my mind.
Yeah, he. What did he just ground the club, or what did he do in that one?
He scooted the sand back. Like he grounded his club.
There was a mound behind his ball, right? And he flattened out the mound. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Yeah, he scooped the sand back, like blatantly. And then he he still denies it. Like to this day, swears that he was just taking a practice swing behind the ball, scooping sand up with the butt of his club. Like,
I would say that's possible if Patrick Reed hadn't had other instances where, you know, he was accused of bending golf rules and cheating. Yeah, they sent Chamblee a cease and desist letter in 2020 based on that, and just said that he not repeat the accusations. So to basically not repeat the ruling that the PGA gave that he improved his lie in a bunker. Please stop talking about the fact that I got penalized for this. What? He's a golf analyst. He's analyzing golf. What's your problem?
Exactly.
I hate Patrick Reed.
I do too, man.
He's a dog. He's a punk. He's a clown.
Yes. They all are. All those live guys are. No offense, Nate.
I don't think all of them are. I really don't. Like Pat Perez, after his story, I was like, dude, I totally get that. Like, good for Pat Perez. Like, the older guys who have kind of hung on tour but not really made a lot of money and want to just spend more time with their family, cool. But, like, Cam Smith, which I guess that's not official yet, even though it feels very official.
He hasn't played a tournament, so technically he can still play in the in the PGA.
Right.
Well, so this is the thing. Like, I don't care if these guys go to live. Like, I think most people you ask don't care. I'm fine with that. If they want to go make money, I have no problem with that. That's okay. I support those guys for that. However, if you're gonna whine and moan that they can't come back and play in the PGA, which they shouldn't be able to do, then that's absolutely ridiculous that people would side with LIV to say, okay, you can go play for a competitive league. Oh, and also you should be able to play in the PGA as well, or the USGA. That, it's like having your cake and eating it too, man. It's like you can't. I'm upset with the guys that are trying to sue and get and have everything. They want it all. They want the money from the LIV Tour, and they want to be able to continue to play in the FedEx Tour. Like, you can't have it both ways, guys. You made your bed. Now deal with the consequences. I mean, I can't go play for the NFL and the USFL at the same time.
Yeah, I do wonder. I mean, it's different a little bit because golf is an individual sport, right? So there's not like team issues, but I do wonder if the PGA had initially said, like, yes, you can play both, that's fine. I wouldn't care if anybody wanted to play both. But what LIV did by kind of, you know, poaching to a degree some of these players, like, what was the PGA's choice?
Well,
could they have just said, like, play both, who cares? And then they just kind of dwiddle, I don't know.
To kind of rebuttal with that a little bit, I don't think they can because it is an individual sport, but the PGA and the USGA and all these tournaments, these majors, they have a lot of money vested in these guys.
Yeah.
So if they're going to go play in a different tour and risk injury and risk burnout and risk everything that comes with that, then, you know, that's why the NFL probably would not allow you to play in two leagues, because what are the chances you're going to get injured in another league? Pretty high.
Yeah. Well, especially in football, right?
The problem, Matt, is they're treated as independent contractors for the PGA Tour. That's where the PGA Tour got in trouble. An NFL player is an employee of that team, so they can't go play. They have a contract with that team to be an employee. They have, you know, benefits, medical, all that stuff. They can be told when and where to be places. If you're an independent contractor, you can't be told those things. You can't be required to have to go play X amount of tournaments. That's why players can play. You know, Tiger Woods in his prime, he played less tour stops than anybody else. He prepped for majors. He had tons of endorsement money. He didn't need to. That's why the tour can't, you know, and so the tour player's argument is, if we're independent contractors, that means we can contract with anyone we want to. And the PGA is not. The tour can say, you know, we're not going to contract with you, I guess, back if you. Yeah. Go somewhere else, but that's where it's a mess.
I mean, it is, but I think that's the PGA Tour's right to do that. You know, it's their league, and that's why those guys lost the lawsuit in California over that. So, you know, it's kind of, to me, I know it is kind of fascinating. I think in the long run, this is good for golf. That sounds weird, but it's bringing a ton of publicity to golf in general. So, you know, I mean, my wife's talking about it, and she could care less about golf.
I'll counter that, Matt. I think it has the potential to be a really good thing for golf, but it's going to take both sides, but more importantly, the PGA side. They're going to have to tweak some things. They're just going to have to, right? Like, they're going to have to provide more benefits to their members and to players. They're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to try to find ways to compete with the team element of LIV Golf. Some people like that. You know, I personally don't like the 3-day event. I don't like the shotgun start, but maybe you could work in an event.
A couple of tournaments, maybe, yeah.
Right, right. And, I mean, like, again, I love the Ryder Cup, but that's also, you know, United States versus, I don't know about, like, this team versus that team. That part to me is a little but I think the PGA would be wise to take some ideas from LIV Golf. Just, like, it's the same way the NFL did with the XFL and some of these other leagues. They kind of use that as a little test market. Like, oh, they tried that. That worked out well. We can adjust that. But I think, and this is one of the things you're seeing all of the, you know, former champions, kind of the great golfers and even a lot of the commentators say, like, LIV Golf, and that's why they keep calling it an exhibition event. A championship golf tournament is 4 rounds, 4 days, staggered starts. It just is. And now we're trying to change the idea of what's important, format. And that's a weird thing to do.
Yeah, you know, it'd be like making the NFL go into halves, like you just play a half of football or some weird.
Yeah, or three periods or something. It'd just be weird. Like, instead of 4 quarters, we go to 3 periods. Like, it would just be confusing to everyone. Like, why change it if it's already working? But LIV had to do that to create some type of, you know, differentiation between them and PGA.
I'll get out of here, guys.
No, you're good. You're good.
Well, I don't disagree with – I mean, the LIV Tour is fine. Like, I don't hate the LIV Tour. I just hate the fact that it's like the players that want to go play for that tour, I'm on the side of the PGA, USGA. It's like, look, if you're going to go play, fine. We have rules set in place that you can't play in both leagues. That's their right to do that. You know, they can make that right. And those guys chose – they made their decision to go. Knowing those rules, they made that decision to leave. So I honor that. But I do agree with you. I think that – it will, I think, and I hope it does. I hope they change some of the formats, because some of the stuff, they're going to have to get with the times, obviously. Things are going to have to change. But I don't think you have to, I don't think you got to, you know, reinvent the wheel there. I think you just throw in a couple of tournaments and maybe do, they've obviously already increased some of the pots, which they should have done earlier. So I think the LIV Tour has done some good things, especially for those mid guys, those mid-level guys who miss cuts or who do this or who do that. That don't make the amount of money that these upper level guys are. So,
right.
Anyways, guys, loving to see you.
See you, Matt. Appreciate the phone call.
Final segment, R1 next. Final segment, hour number one of Three and Out. Alongside Houston Kress, I'm Nate Hodges. We got Adam Hickman, intern Brett. We're all here. Spring practice. Fall camp rolls on.
You scared me for a second. I thought we were further away from football than we actually were.
Well, no other major injury news or anything for the team, so that's good. Today is the, 2 weeks away?
Officially, yes. 2 weeks away? We are Eric Berry days away. Did I see... The second scrimmage was the big one, right? They're going to have like a situational scrimmage, a special team scrimmage, but they're kind of ramping down a little bit now, right? It's mostly install and playbook stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously training. And,
I don't
know. You know.
I don't know which is bigger, the second or the third scrimmage. But I mean,
I think we're good.
Once they go this weekend, I mean, this weekend will be the last major one, right? And then they'll go a week and a half into game day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then a week and a half into game two, which would be nice.
Very nice. Very good. Do you want to know who's returning punts?
Yes.
Trey Flowers, D. Williams. Kickoffs, Jimmy Holiday, and they've tried Dylan Sampson. They've also tried Danico Slaughter.
And Squirrel White?
Mike Eckler did not mention Squirrel White.
I thought the rumor was he housed one.
Maybe that was his first opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is Squirrel White, and they don't want to say anything because
they
don't want the opponents to know. Let's see. He said the punters and kickers are doing good. They're healthy. Okay, I mean special teams right now. He's also the linebackers coach, so that's good. Okay, here you go. Maybe not. Okay, no, he did say Squirrel White's doing a nice job helping out on special teams.
Okay.
Doesn't say where, but I think...
It's tackling.
Yeah, I was going to say with his size and speed, you would have to think he's returning something. Elijah Herring's getting some work on special teams. Caleb Perry. Dylan Sampson is tearing it up. Okay, so...
Tearing it up, huh?
Tearing it up. Chaz Nimrod, and then he said he's leaving out a bunch.
Okay.
Called D. Williams electric. How about that?
Electric. That's... D. Williams electric?
Yep.
Is D. Williams electric?
All right. I mean, I'm just going by what the special teams coordinator said.
Huh.
But are you thinking he might not be electric?
I just don't remember.
Okay. He just got here. Junior, defensive back, transfer from SCUBA. East Central Community College, Mississippi.
Originally from Forsyth, Georgia?
Yes.
Okay.
5'11", 190. That might be your punt returner. I always like corners at punt returner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Terry Fair, great punt returner. Cam Sutton, great punt returner. Some guys just have it. Usually it's the quick twitch corner guys. As long as they can catch the ball.
D. Williams wasn't rated very highly as a prospect, but maybe great on special teams.
As long as he can catch the ball and put a juke on, I'm good. Now you know. I know we're up against it. We got to talk about Chris Doering. I'm worried about him. First of all, that hair, that suit. I swear, the SEC network guys, God love them all. It's like they try to see who can out Easter suit the other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all pastels and gel. And I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a good suit, but man, Robin's like blue with a pink tie in August. What are we doing? And then the record he predicted.
Ho ho! Well, it's not Labor Day yet. He can still wear white, right?
I guess.
We'll come back, kick off hour two. We'll tell you what he said about Kentucky. Yeah. Next.